Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcoming in our audience in Richmond for the next 3 hours on AM 910, FM 105.1. Everybody's been listening on the flagship 106.7 all over D.C. since 2 o'clock. We are taking you up to 6:30 tonight. A little overtime ahead of the Nats and the Padres. Because you know how when Juan Soto goes to San Diego, we don't have to think about him for a little while, except the Nats
we'll never
are playing
see him again.
Seven times in 10 games, Danny.
Sportsman.
It had to happen.
What a cruel, mean-spirited, vindictive bleep word fate is. Just horrendous. I could have dealt with it if I saw it. Like, the MLB Network game of the week. I'll just change the channel. I can't avoid it. It's time for Bob and Kevin Frangin to tell you what's going on. Juan Soto, so much Juan Soto in my piece, in that Padres uniform. It doesn't sting like some of the others, right? It doesn't hurt as badly, or it doesn't make me angry, but it hurts. It makes me very sad.
Let's go to our buddy Ben Standing of The Athletic, who covers the Commanders, get some news and notes out of Ashburn. Benjamin, I want to start with preseason game number 2 in Kansas City. Ron Rivera saying that he wants to play the starters a full half, but injuries are going to dictate what he's able to do. I took that to mean the offensive line is already ravaged right now, and he doesn't have any tight ends, so he's not going to be playing them a full half. Is that what you took out of that or no?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty bleak on the offensive line right now. The top three guards have been out of practice Trey Toner's been out for a long time by this point. Schweitzer and Norwell have been out the last few days. And, you know, they already know that Chase Roullier is only going to play a limited time now that he's back in practice. So that is really crimping their style with who they have inside. That's why yesterday at practice they went with three offensive tackles and Sam Cosmi moved inside. Today with the first team, they had a guy, Aaron Montero, effectively with the ones. I don't know. He's not making the team. So this is a huge issue for them. If you want to get Carson Wentz the reps, which obviously they do, who's out there trying to protect him? That's the huge question. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if they went back to that three-tackle look. Not that Rivera said that, but simply if you want to get your best five guys out there, that may be what they need to do. So they've got some questions there, and that may be ultimately dictate how much or how little, you know, Wentz and the starters play.
Ben, you know I'm known for being very rational and calm and patient and taking everybody at their word. So I, of course, am not moved any kind of emotion by this in any stage. When should we start to be, just for regular folks, not people like me that have supreme levels of tranquility in their souls, when should the average rank and file start to be a little bit concerned about this situation?
I would say once we get past this game. I mean, it is still, what are we now? We're under a month before the first game. We're 3 weeks out. But, you know, it's the point of preseason and is to, you know, help your team, you know, prep for the season. Then you want to use these opportunities as best you can. I don't know how much the starters will play at all in the third game, so this could be it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Rivera's not much for giving us too many specifics on injuries. And, you know, Trey Turner's been out for a long time at this point. The Norwell Schweitzer situations, we'll have to ask for an update, you know, maybe after the game or beginning of next week. So yeah, it's getting a little concerning. I mean, I don't know how to argue otherwise. And plus, like, you know, Sadiq Charles has missed some time, and, you know, frankly, I, you know, he can play multiple positions, but I don't know that we can sit here anymore and say Sadiq Charles is a guy who could start, right? So, you know, even if they have a couple guys who could nominally play, it's still different than having your starters in there. So, I would say, you know, they come for now, but by the time we get to next week, if these guys aren't back out there, then, yeah, we got to start asking some questions.
Speaking of questions, is Antonio Gibson still the starting running back in Washington?
Good question. I would say yes. But I think, to me, the way I've interpreted the action of the last few days, I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot, where he's been working with not just the first team, but the second and the third team, plus getting special teams reps, that, you know, I think they're saying, hey, look, you're still our guy, but the patience is thin, especially since we have this other guy in Brian Robinson, who, you know, Brian Robinson has not played a single NFL game yet, but, you know, based on what we see in practice and in the preseason, he can be a pretty consistent option for us. And he's also known to hold on to the ball, something that Gibson obviously has had issues with. So, I think it's important to remember also, last year, they benched Gibson a couple times in games when he had these fumbles. So it's not like this is completely out of the blue. So that, you know, he's really going to have to show up the fumbling, but not just that. You know, Rivera talked that he needs to run harder at the line of scrimmage, not just dance around as much. And yeah, if he doesn't start doing that more, they do have another way to go, and that's something they didn't have last year. So yeah, he is the starter, but I would say the patience is thin if he doesn't kind of get going here.
Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. That's what I wanted to ask you about, Ben. I did. Grant and I were both kind of a little bit perplexed at that criticism from Rivera. The fumbling is bad. Everyone's got that. But he's like, he didn't run hard. And my point is, like, that's all he does. He has one gear. And it's just sort of this, you know, shot out of a cannon. There's no nuance to the position. To me, it's a vision question. It's a patience question at times. Not a run hard type question. I was confused by that criticism. Help me understand.
Yeah, maybe he just means run decisive more than hard. And I think that's the thing with Gibson. You look at some of the various analytics. You know, he obviously is one of the more productive running backs with the basic stats, but not very efficient when you look at, you know, yards per carry and some of the DVOA numbers that he leaves a lot out there. And I think part of that is what I think Rivera's talking about is seeing the lane and being decisive with it. Scott Turner the other day, when he was asked about Brian Robinson, said, hey, you know, I thought he did a really good job in his first game. You know, he left, you know, he maybe missed a couple of holes, but then he added that he runs so hard, he was still able to get yards out of it. And that's what you're looking for. And, you know, I think with Robinson, there does seem to be a little more decisiveness with what we've seen out of him, a little more north-south, not dancing as much. So, you know, I think that's kind of what he's talking about to an extent. And, you know, I don't disagree with Rivera. I mean, again, Gibson's really good. He's the home run hitter they got out of that backfield. But at the same time, you know, consistency is, you know, kind of a big deal, let alone holding onto the ball. And I think that's what they're getting frustrated with.
Ben, we had you on roughly 11 times in the couple of months leading up to training camp. And inevitably, in every one of those interviews, we asked you about what they were going to do at linebacker. And we always talked about how Ron Rivera had made it very clear that they would add one. Is Nathan Jerry the guy? Is that the addition? Or as cutdowns happen around the league, are you banking on them bringing in someone who has actually been a good starter in the NFL before?
Yeah, I mean, I think the plan is, yeah, I think Nathan Jerry Gary is
that Gary
guy.
Is it Gary or Jerry? Am I botching it?
You know, no, you're probably right. I'm not sure. I was second guessing myself as I was spitting it out. Yeah, I mean, look, he has some experience, right? He has played. Whether he was the best guy available, I'll leave that up to others. But, you know, he has experience. So I understand if they feel that this is the guy who fills that need. But, yeah, he's not like a starter per se. And I don't necessarily know that they needed that because you have Holcomb, you have Davis, you're mostly playing sub packages. But you needed some more depth than what you had. I mean, you know, I don't know that I've mentioned Kalik Hudson more than a couple of times throughout camp. I think David Mayo has shown some good things. They like him when they go with like sort of a bigger lineup in run situations. But yeah, they needed some more there. But yeah, in terms of the waiver wire, I mean, I would still expect them to look at linebacker and cornerback in particular on defense as areas where, as it stands right now, I still have questions about the depth. I think the other thing with linebacker is how many do they keep? Like, I have them keeping five in my current 53, but normally I would have had them keeping six. I just don't know that there's somebody who's worthy of keeping. And then, you know, in order to release a defensive end or another cornerback or a wide receiver or something like that. So that's why I think they could add someone just for more depth. But yeah, this could be with your guy Nathan.
Ben, for this weekend, if we do get a lot from the starters, for offensive purposes, I'm not saying I need an Osaka, Japan, Steve Spurrier type show. I want to see something. I want to see a spark. And a little bit less Carson Wentz five straight times to Armani Rogers potentially in that. But I just want them to move the football. I want one of those drives where it looks like they can do whatever they want and they can play in one of these modern NFL-type shootouts. I know that's probably not fair to judge a team and get annoyed if they don't do that here in the preseason. I'm just kind of telling you about my preference at this stage from the first-team offense. What are you looking for? And just kind of give me an idea of what we might be able to expect here against Kansas City.
Well, I think somebody who agrees with you is the head coach, because Rivera said the other day, you know, he kind of wished they'd been able to hit on some of those, a couple of those long shots that Wentz took. And this is why you bring in Carson Wentz, to expand the playbook, throw down the field. If they just wanted to throw underneath, you know, you could just stay with Taylor Heinicke. We see in practice, you know, it's been, obviously, as we've all discussed, it's been a little hit or miss, but, you know, Wentz has hit some big throws down the field. Jahan Dotson, he's connected with several times in camp deep, including a long one yesterday. They weren't able to hook up in the last game, but I think that, you know, I definitely have something to keep an eye on for sure. Obviously, McLaurin would be great as well. I feel like their chemistry is still a little more work in progress, but, you know, between those two guys alone, you know, they obviously have the receivers to make those kinds of plays. So I'm with you. Rivera's with you. I think everybody wants to see them open it up, because ultimately, if Carson Wentz is just throwing underneath, that's not why you bring him in. But again, that was only the one game, as we know, and he'll have chances in this game. I think the question, of course, will also be, you know, what kind of protection does he get? We already discussed the questions inside the offensive line, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think keep an eye on Dotson and Deep. Those two have had a good hookup in camp, and hopefully they can find some opportunities on Saturday.
Ben, if you're going out to Kansas City, I go thumbs up on Jack Stack Barbecue. I really like that spot. I go thumbs down on Gates Barbecue. I found it to be overrated.
I'm not going to make this trip, unfortunately, but isn't Gates the go-to? Like, that's like their Ben's Chili Ball, right?
Yeah, it is. Everyone talks about it, and I went there, and I was like, I got, you know, barbecue places in D.C. that are chains that are comparable. I wasn't impressed, but Oklahoma Joe's was really, really good, and I love Jack Stack's. Their burn ends are awesome.
Noted. I'm going to put that in my travel log for the next time I make it out there. I take your word on such things.
My guy. Thank you, Ben. We appreciate the info, buddy.
Thanks, Bob.
Always, man. Thanks. See ya.
Quick check-in out in Ashburn with Ben Standing of The Athletic here on Grant and Danny. All right, let's put a bow and wrap up this Deshaun Watson conversation, the big breaking news of the day. We'll go around the NFL coming up at 3:25. We got some time for the double play at 3:45. In the next hour, we can get into the running back breakdown for the Commanders as we go forward this preseason. Robert's been waiting in Dallas, JaVale and Culpepper. So let's mow through this right now on GND. Robert, thank you for the ring, buddy. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. First of all, let me say your response to the gentleman with the Ben Roethlisberger thing, I thought that was absolutely perfect. It was a different time, different place. I know what road he was trying to go down, but it doesn't fit in this area. Hey, man, Deshaun Watson's got some issues, bro. You know, when you stoop to the point where you're an NFL quarterback and you're driving around the city looking for the neon light massage parlors, that tells me that there's something going on in your head. And now that I look back, I wanted Deshaun Watson like everybody else who was a free agent. I will say, though, that kind of person, I'm glad we don't have him here. And I think there are going to be a lot of teams down the road. There's something wrong with this kid, or this man, I should say, when you're doing these kind of things. I know he was never quote-unquote charged, but there's a pattern there that makes me very, very uncomfortable, and I don't want him leading my team. I'm glad I don't have to be put in a position where I have to pull for a team with a guy like that being the quarterback. So, hail to the Commanders. Deshaun, good luck to you. It is what it is. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy. And yeah,
appreciate you, buddy.
He'll get another chance now at life and at football to move forward and do things the right way. I think for me, and he kind of said this, but I'll double down. It was the quantity. It was the number of women that came forward. When it was, and maybe this says something negative or bad about me, I don't know, but when it was one or two allegations, I'm very much open to the possibility of a misunderstanding or, you know, who knows, that's an awkward thing. Like, let's wait and see what happens here. Then it's three, then it's five, then it's eight. Next thing you know, we're talking about a couple of dozen women and over 60 that are talking to at least one reporter who say he was seeking them out and that this was very awkward at best and potentially harmful and illegal at worst. There's too many people coming forward. You know, I don't know what to say other than that has to matter. The number of people claiming that you did something to them has to matter. It just does.
This, again, it's so hard because we don't totally know, right? We're not, what, like, if we knew with 100% certainty, I mean, I hate to keep bringing up Michael Vick on this episode, but it's hard to kind of ignore, you know, we're talking about a guy that is going to have to serve some time in some way or go through a legal process and then is able to come back and play. With Vick, we had the court case. It happened. We know that he was running this ongoing criminal enterprise of a dogfighting ring, etc. With these other cases, whether it be Greg Hardy, Zeke Elliott, you know, some of the other domestic violence cases that aren't springing to mind immediately, or then this one, harassment with Deshaun Watson, we've got testimony or we've got the accounts of all the alleged victims, and they're graphic and hard to read and stomach turning, but that they still remain allegations. We have no 100% unequivocal proof, and the truth may lie somewhere in the middle. My point is here, the range isn't a good range to be in. The best case is that this is incredibly odd, weird, and if this was your like kid, you'd go, what are you doing? Stop behaving this way. It's really, really weird. That's as good as it can be for Deshaun Watson. That's the kindest interpretation for how he acted over these multiple months and years and you know, sort of slinking around on Instagram, you know, looking for private off-the-books kind of massages and all that kind of behaviors. Again, the kind of thing where you would not want anyone you know to engage in that kind of behavior.
But, and best, as a professional athlete, it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just
right.
You don't do that. Teams have their own massages in-house. Players pay lots of money. I remember Dwayne Haskins, Tom Brady, like a bunch of people I covered would go to the same person every time because as a professional athlete, they know exactly what you want and need. You're able to get on your phone and just live your life, and they're there when you count on them to be there at the right time, and you have the rate set up and everything. There is no searching for people, let alone on your own, let alone on social media and direct messages. It doesn't happen. JaVale's in Culpeper. Hey, JaVale.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you as well. So what made me call in with you guys is when I heard you guys speaking of, you know, him being contrite and, you know, how he wasn't, you know, really remorseful or apologetic and or why did he, you know, apologize for things that he did not do? Well, I remember, you know, 6-7 months ago, people were saying the exact opposite, you know, because he was being steadfast and that he wasn't going to apologize because he hadn't done anything wrong. I think we fail to realize that the NFL, it's a fraternity of 32 men, basically, and they have their own rules. And the NFLPA and the NFL came to this agreement because the NFL did not want the NFLPA to take them to court because it was going to open so much more that the NFL was not ready for. They took the public's perspective. They got this first judge who was a woman, and they thought that was a better PR look. She said, 6 games because of your president, and that wasn't good for public relations. The NFL needs to, in the next bargaining agreement, it has to be stated. If they're going to have certain punishments, they have to, you know, make that the situation. And I believe Deshaun is going to be that. But it still comes down to if you can play or if you can't, you know, because we saw what Ray Rice done. Ray Rice never played again. Deshaun Watson, I mean, it's not, you know, that direct physical blow as he did, but all of these allegations, you know, people are wondering why.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, JaVale, because I agree with almost everything you're saying. I think it's
yeah, I agree with what you're saying, buddy.
But let me ask you a quick follow-up to that. On Ray Rice, because I agree with you, I've made this point. I do think if he was in the prime of his career,
probably... Yeah, if he's ripping off 5 a carry, he still plays.
He probably plays. But it is a way more, you know, replacement-level position than quarterback. But I would ask you this. If there were videos of what Deshaun Watson did, okay, it's still largely a he said, she said, and he's able to, depending on if you believe him or not, either hide behind the fact that there's no video, or if you think he's right, you could say he benefits from the correct fact that he's able to say, I didn't do it. Ray Rice said one thing, then the video came out, and we now know, okay, a la, who's the running back with Nick Chubb? Kareem Hunt said something happened, right. The video comes out, he was lying. So now we see it, and it changes the game, right? If there were videos of Deshaun Watson doing this, do you think he would play again? 24-plus videos of him doing this, do you think he would play again?
If they were video...
If we knew for a fact, because of the video evidence, that what he did to all these women happened, and we see it, right? And there's he was not only harassing, but the ones that say he's assaulting, he was assaulting. If it actually happened and there was video evidence, do you think he would play again?
But I don't think there would be video evidence, because I believe that the evidence and what the grand jury was shown for them, two different grand juries, to not charge him says...
Right, because you can't... there's no video in a private room, so there's no way to prove it. But it's a hypothetical. I'm asking you. You're getting to this...
No. But you have to understand, when it comes to a grand jury, it's like 98% of every case that goes to the grand jury, the person is charged. Like 97-98%. And two different grand juries did not charge this man.
Okay, and then I don't know if that's true or not. I can look that up. But you haven't answered my question yet. If there was a video of this, would he play again?
If you saw video and he done what he was alleged of doing, yes, he would never play again.
Okay, that's my question.
And I'll say this in closing. The NFL cannot suspend this man for 12 games or what it came out to be 11 games, okay? 11 games, and six was their precedent for this. Six, okay? And then you suspend the receiver and
Calvin Ridley.
Atlanta for gambling. Yeah, you suspend Calvin Ridley for a year, okay? For a year for gambling $1,500, but then you want to give this man just a year for breaking the code of conduct or making the NFL look bad. Like, it's all about if you can play, if you can't. And Deshaun Watson is...
No, but you admitted, thank you for the call, you admitted that if they're...
Thanks, man.
I mean, you're talking about dozens of women that came forward with allegations, whereas the other situation is one guy betting on a few games. But it's hard to even juxtapose the two, because it's apples, it's oranges, it's bananas. They're just completely different. But my point is just simply that he has a career and he will keep playing, because we don't know what happened. We have to, in this country, innocent until proven guilty, there has to be some benefit of the doubt that he didn't do all of the things that are alleged. All I'm saying is, I'm picking at it at the one point where you said it's just because he's really good, you get to keep playing. Well, no, I think if Deshaun Watson, as good as he is, or Brady or Rodgers or anybody else, if there's video of them doing that, it's over. And that was what happened more so than anything else with Ray Rice, in my opinion. 800-636-1067 is the number. Do you disagree with that, Danny?
No, the only thing I was going to add is if the point, hey, this league is hypocritical, hey, this league, you know, is inconsistent, then you're getting a co-sign from me.
Yeah,
I mean, again, you've got ownership right here in town, in fact, where that is, there's a great case for that. And you've got a whole, we don't have any video, so he's still in the owner's box. He's still eating meatballs out of the commander's crock pot or whatever the hell it is, still pouring milk in Ted Lerner's suite. You know, just because we don't have great video evidence of it, then he's still just collecting the paychecks and everything is fine and dandy. So if that's the point, 100% cosign.
Yeah, Robert Kraft himself got into a controversy over a massage parlor. It was not nearly as big a story. So if you're saying there's hypocrisy, you're not wrong about that.
Sign me up.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll go around the NFL non-Deshaun Watson division next, right here on your flagship home for the Washington Nationals, the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.